שומרת ומריע ולא ליפה, גם השגוחו לא זוכרו שתשתנה מהשגוחו על שאור המיני. What he says now is, since man is different, the human race is different, please note that he hasn't started speaking about Jews yet. He's speaking about the human race. He says, the human race is different from any other species, in that the human being has been given the power of determination of free will, and he has the ability to acquire perfection or to lose it. And in this respect, he is a poel and a menia. He activates and influences. He works, he is active, he is not passive. The low nipple, he isn't a passive part of creation. Gam hashgocho lo buchro, shetishtane mi hashgocho she'or amini. And therefore the providence that is extended to man is different from the providence that is extended to other species. Now, if you just remember where we have left off, and let me explain something to you at this particular stage. And that is, we are speaking about providence. Now, there are two types of providence of which we must be aware. The one type of providence is the one that we know best, and that is God cares for us, God cares about us. Therefore, in order for God to care for us and to care about us, he must know about us, be interested in us. And that is what the Torah tells us, that Hashem is a personal God. And we know Hashem through his various manifestations. For example, we know him as Borei Olam. He is the creator of the universe. Now, in the world of science today, I think I'm safe in saying that if not the majority of scientists, a very important minority of scientists acknowledge that there is a creator in the universe. They don't understand it, they don't know it, but this they will say, that there is a creator. Now, their usual schools of science won't accept that. And this is the great difficulty that we have got. And that is that when we send our children to universities, they are told that there is no God. That's what they are taught. Unless they've got a special teacher who is right on top and isn't afraid of saying it. But that is what they are taught. It is all mechanical. The universe is mechanical. That is the way it works. There is no supreme being. Some will say there is a creator. Some will say there is no creator. Those who say there is a creator, that is where it ends. God has created, and he says he has withdrawn himself. That the world goes on. We don't accept that. So Hashem is the Borei Olam, but at the same time he is Ovinu, our father, and he is Malkeinu, he is our king, Shofteinu, he is our judge. Now that is taking a very realistic view of the human being. There is no escapism here. God is our father. And as our Father, he cares for us in every imaginable way. If we do wrong, it pains him. If we do right, it gladdens his heart, so to say. I'm speaking very metaphorically, very abstractively. No such thing, God hasn't got a heart, but the feeling of it is there. As a father, that's one type of providence, and that is that care that he's got for us. And however bad we are, a father never throws a child overboard. Always long-suffering, caring, waiting, there is guidance also. Now all that is something very special. That is one type of prophecy. So I'm going to call it caring. So that is one type of prophecy. Jerry isn't speaking about that type of providence. Jerry is speaking about another type of providence, and that is the providence that influences. But the two very often come so close together that they intermingle. And I will point out to you when they intermingle. But now he is speaking about the type of providence. God is king and God is judge. So when it comes to God is king, he has made laws, and we are expected to obey those laws. All right. And we say, this is 3 mile law. So for man, it's and now he says that so as far as man is concerned, his every deed is watched over by God. That type of providence that comes from a king and from a judge, everything he does is watched over by God to see whether it is right or whether it is wrong. And there are results. One of the results is Mido Kenezit Mido, something that we have discussed often, and that is measure for measure. Now, I'm going to give you just an example of how far measure for measure goes. We don't have to take the simple things, because we've covered that during the past years. I'll give you a more sophisticated type of measure for measure. Yosef brought what is reading outside of your page? By Yomer Paro El Yaakov, and Yosef brought Yaakov, his father, and he placed him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Yaakov, Kamo Yemei Shnei Chayecho. How old are you? You know, it's regarded terribly rude to ask a woman how old you are. And a woman has every right to make herself 20, 30, 40 years younger, depending what her real age is. Absolutely in order. It's not a lie, there's nothing she's permitted to do so. That is a din. That is rude to ask, and if you ask a rude question, you don't have to be told the truth. So that is a din. One of the places in which one is permitted to tell a lie. So Pharaoh says to him, how old are you? Come with me, Pharaoh. How old are you? Now, when a man is very old, to ask him how old he is, that isn't rude. Because it's usually in the form of a compliment that he's reached such an old age, he must be a reason for it. By Yomir Yaakov El Paro, and Yaakov said to Paro, Yemei Shenei Megurai Shloshim U'Ma'ashono, the years of my sojournings are 130 years. Ma'at Ro'im, or Yemei Shenei Chayar, my years were few and bad. But now you see this Yemei Shenei Chayar besides Yemei Megurahim, and they have not reached the years of my fathers in their sojourning. For that, he is punished. And for that he is punished, and he is they subtracted from his life, I think it is 37 years. That is the number of letters there are in all these words. That where Paro says to Yaakov, how old are you? And he says, I'm so old, and my days are evil, they haven't been good. When you've got such a precious thing as life, I can say your days are evil. And that is regarded as something wrong that he said. Days are evil, you know what you've got? For a person to have life, the greatest gift of all, and that is something you've got. Question is asked, all right, then he should only have been, yes, he should only those letters that fall. The days of my sojourn, 130 years, they are weak, they are bad, they have been evil, they not who I am, reached the age of my forefathers. But into the chesed, into the reckoning goes, when Pharaoh says, come with your mission, because that's also taken in. Why should that be taken in? He didn't say that, Pharaoh said that. And what was wrong in that? The answer is that Pharaoh asked him how old you are, why? Because he looked young or because he looked old? Because he looked old. He said, how old are you? He looked old. He looked older than he should have looked for his age. Why?
This is the view of his life.
He didn't take the correct view of his life. He didn't take life itself into consideration. Taken life itself into consideration, you wouldn't have looked for us. That is a needle to naked needle. That is measure for measure. You didn't value your life, you get less. That is a measure for measure. Works in the reverse field. When a person does good, works in reverse. And that is something that's never forgotten. Avraham took the guests into his home, and look what he does say. Sit down and have a little water, I'll bring you some water. When the Bnei Yisrael were in the wilderness, they had no trouble with water. He said, I'll get you some food. When the Bnei Yisrael were in the wilderness, no trouble with food. That is the need of the nations, and that is the need. Never ceases all that time. And the need of Tovo is greater than the need of Ro. When God rewards good for good, it is greater than good for evil 500 times. You know exactly. That is how it's come down. But the Derech Hashem mentions that is one of the ways. He says, but everything God has gotten see to it, that is providence. Everything is watched. So we've got two types of providence, the caring and the watchfulness. So God watches one type of providence, theory is a part of theories. Now, we are not speaking about the theory, we are speaking about the watchfulness. And that is what he's saying. Is that clear? The very mimashe ain shayt pisha ora mini, she is shame lifolim velo toli. He says, now this does not apply to other teachers. There is not that watchfulness, everything that they do, because they haven't got the determination of will. You know that story, which is true, of how in the Bronx, that's a part of New York, isn't it? And they've got a famous zoo there. And in the zoo they've got polar bears. And the polar bears have got their own swimming pool. And three boys, on a very hot day in New York, and the cherries can become abominably hot there, they climbed over after the zoo was closed, locked in the evening, they climbed over to swim in the polar bear's pool. And the polar bears hadn't had a satisfactory dinner. So you know what happened. Now, you can't punish the polar bear for that. He hasn't got the hero. He can't work it out after all those small boys. What are their parents going to say? You can't expect him to do that. So he is a mythol. He's not a poem. He's passive. That's the way he's made. He does that. So, shame before him below poetry. The Enum Electricity Marsha Royal Sashluma Mina Ru, Kefi Marsha Hushras, the Shosha Shinaiti, I spoke of a time and Shilvi Shavanova, Kefi Marsha Tiba, the Hoka Shavi Sashin Tiba. They see, and therefore, God's watchfulness over all else in creation is different from his watchfulness over man. Over man, every single deed that he does, every word that he says. And if he is a man of exceptional quality, then every thought that he thinks, is God watches that. And it has to be paid for. If it's good, it has to be paid for. It's paid to him. If it's bad, he pays for it. We have a little bit more about that later on. Whereas, for the rest of creation, says the Derech HaShem, as far as the rest of creation is concerned, the watchfulness of God extends only to the species as a whole, but not to the individual. Yes, God just looks after the species as a whole, not after the individual. Is that clear? So, Avol Haminoi Noshishe, Isho Puri Mumanin Samoshe Zochavnu, but the human race who are active and motivated, he made Soriche Yushku Bifro, where every single individual is watched. And what happens to them is in accordance with their deeds. No focus below you say, not less and not more. With us we can't work out exactly, but Hashem works it out exactly. He said, and we shall broaden out on this matter that we have touched on now as we go further in this work. Just one third thing I want to say, and that is that when we speak about the reward of what a man does and the punishment, the reward for the good and the punishment for the evil, we've got to understand that it's not a punishment that comes from without or a reward that comes from without, but man himself creates that situation. When Avraham Avinu, so better take the other case, the case that I'm dealing with now in the Shabbat morning here, when Yisrael decided he's going to leave Egypt, if that is what they are doing to the Bnei's going, taking their children and throwing them into the river, if that he isn't going to Egypt anymore. This is a man who has a big high position in this. He goes and leaves Egypt. For that, his descendants put in the Sanhedrin. He wasn't even a Jew. But because of that which he did, his children sat, his descendants, not his children, his descendants sat in the Sanhedrin. Now, it's not that that is because you did this. This is, he himself created that situation. He used his judgment. This is wrong. What can I do about it? Can't stop it. If I try to stop it, they'll kill me immediately. And I won't be able to do any good. I'll do much more good by leaving it all. Terrific sacrifice. He goes and he goes to Midian, and Midian is nobody. There he suffers complete anonymity. In fact, he suffers very much more, because they don't want to have anything to do with him in Midian. The man came from everything, everything was at his feet. Makes all that sacrifice for him. That's the sense of judgment tells him to do. Now, a sense of judgment entails two parts. The one is, a person's got a sense of judgment, he can judge. He's got what is called a shikul hadar. This is right, this is wrong. This is good, this is evil. This is true, this is false. For that one employs a shikul hadas, that is a sense of judgment, which is one of the middos which Hashem has given us. But it is one of those middos that has got to be implemented. If he doesn't implement it, he's in a worse position than if he didn't exercise it. Because he knows now what is true and what is false. Does he act upon it or doesn't he act upon it? If he doesn't act upon it, that is means now his act of his sense of judgment becomes flawed. He's got a sense of judgment, this is true, he doesn't act on it. This is right, he doesn't act on it. This is good, he doesn't act on it. This is false, doesn't act on it. It's false, this is wrong, doesn't act on it. This is evil, doesn't act on it. Knows it, doesn't act on it. That's that. So if a person uses his sense of judgment and knows this is good and this is true and this is right and he doesn't act on it, no consequences. If he acts on it, then it depends to what extent he acts on it. In the case of Yitzhak, took to where it went. Started very early. But the middle connected middle is, he exercised his sense of judgment. His descendants sit on the Sanhedrin. And that is the middle, that is the attribute that one has to exercise it and sit on the Sanhedrin. They've got to decide. What is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false, what is good, what is evil. They've got to decide it. That is what it is. That is middle for measure, measure for measure. That is the end of the second, that's the end of the first chapter. Any questions on that? Yes, Sina.
Just back to the example, the color there.
Yes.
An animal not be milked or not, or your punishment worth making.
Yes, because that is its nature. You see, ox has got nature. But when he has done it several times, that means that now his nature is, it's become worse. It's gone to an absolute extreme. And he's going to do it again. That is protection, you've got to protect yourself from it. That is, you're quite right. I thought you were going to ask another question, and that is the three boys. But they have got Ashbacha. The bears haven't. But they have got Ashbacha. You follow? Now that is true. That's what I spoke of, and that's the Derech Hashem will speak a lot about that later on. So what things they are, they care. There is the expression of caring. We'll speak a lot about that later on. But how far it goes. And we've got to use our own discretion also. If a man decides to jump off high-rise building because he's got faith in Hashem that he's going to fly down and then safely, of course. Thank you. That you can't do. But that we'll speak about more later on. All right, and now we are able to go into the second part, where he speaks more, next to the second chapter, where he speaks more about what I've been discussing with you. Now, in the first paragraph, he says that the ultimate of creation is that man should reach perfection, and the ultimate aim is that he should be on the Olam Haba, and on the Olam Haba he enjoys the presence of Hashem, being in the presence of Hashem. And we have discussed that a little at least, with the idea of Ur Ponov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the light of the countenance of Hashem in previous years. Let us see what he says in the first paragraph. He says, Inei kavod idam lo heyesh tafrit priyat amin lo enoshi l'shiyiv kivya hiya l'tevu amiti shehu ha'izgavkut bo yisborach l'olam habo. He says, we've already discussed that the purpose of the creation of the human race is that he should prove himself worthy and attain the true goodness. That is closeness to Hashem on the Olam Haba. That is the purpose of it all. But in Koshe, Shofkosi, Gilgulo, Binei, Hu, Amenucho, La Olam Haba. So it means that the end of man is, the end goal of man is Menuch, that great rest, that great tranquility on the Olam Haba. Omnom gozer achok mayone yes roi ve no oshe yigdam lo ze matova ba olam haze nikshu ve nikbo ba kufet stevas veo oz. He said, but the divine, God's divine wisdom is decreed that before that can happen, a man should be bound up, and the word really is kneaded into the laws governing this world of ours, this material world of ours. Because this is the preparation for the correct preparation that he should be able to attain the required ultimate goal. And so God has created this world in such a way that everything that takes place here, with man, in man, around about man, is all to prepare himself for his place in the world to come. In the Olam Haba. Now we've had quite a lot about this in part one, and we've also had, and I continue to refer to it, the first chapter in the Sefer Yesharim, really speaks about it. And what he really says is that everything in this world is a challenge to man. Whether it is happiness or misery, whether it is wealth or poverty, it is all a challenge to man. In order that he should struggle, overcome the temptations, And as he overcomes the temptations, then he emerges ever stronger. And this spiritually, morally, and this prepares him for his place on the Olam Haba. Now, in the recent months, I have taken you for an excursion into another field altogether. And I have said that there are other things in which this world prepares us for in the world to come. In the old days, the royal courts were very important institutions in a country. Even today, in of the heavenly court and now the position enticing into a position he is going to be killed, and Naboth says, I want to be the one to do that. And the court is described there as on one side there are the prosecutors and on the other side there are the defenders. And we think when we hear something like that, that is just because we have created courts like this. So in order to understand that we have given a picture like that, it's exactly the reverse. We have got our courts like this, and that is taken. That is Hashem's court, the prosecutor and the defender. And Hashem sits on his throne and Hashem is the judge. That is the real court. And what we have here on earth is an imitation of that, a very real imitation, and we are expected to imitate it. But from this court on earth we can understand the Bible. Now I'm just going to repeat to you something that I found it necessary to say to a group of people a very short while ago. We don't believe that all people are equal. No two people are alike, and no two people are equal. It is true that sometimes it's very difficult for us to differentiate, but we are given that Toach HaChomer. We are able to differentiate, and as I've explained to you, that is the purpose of the Adonai service. We make up Adonai so that we should be able to differentiate the simplest things. Night and day must be able to feel the difference. Jew and Gentile must be able to feel the difference. Shabbos and weekdays must be able to feel the difference. And when you can do that, they Kodesh the Chodesh, tell the difference between what is sacred and what is profane, what is holy and what is secular. Be able to feel that difference. That's the whole purpose of the whole of Torah service. That's the first bracha we say in the morning after the bracha that we can't move without. And they say, La Sechli Yino Rakim Benyemu Beiloilo. Hashem is instituted in the universe the power of. No? Discrimination is another word. Discernment. Who said that? Discernment is the word. So, is the power of discernment. That even the cock can discern between night and day, but so fine that if you wake up when the cock crows and you run outside, you say that it's still night, why is the cock crowing? And you wait 10 minutes and you see the first sign of dawn. But the cock has got it, it's inbuilt. So it's there, this ability to discern. So we make a distinction. We are having an affair on Sunday. Not everybody sits at the top. It depends who they are. Don't treat everybody the same. Isn't true for everybody at the top. Not everybody gets a front row seat. It's not anybody can sit in the front row. Everybody is the same. Everybody is not the same. And a person who is of a higher stature deserves more recognition and is given more recognition. And I gave an example of the way it was worked by the British Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher. Now, in England, there is a very strict law of protocol, and that is, the king studies first, the queen studies next. In this case, the queen studies first. What are they called here? Have you got? They call it the prince consul. They call it the prince consul, follows the queen. And then, I think it's right, the prime minister, and after the prime minister is the Archbishop of Canterbury. And then some of the ministers, and then the Archbishop of York, but there is a protocol that is in that order. Now, they are in a little bit of a bind there. What happens if the Archbishop of York is of a greater stature than the Archbishop of Canterbury? Can't do anything about it. That is protocol. That is his position. He's got to follow his position, which is very important. He's got a first. Now, I heard William Temple speaking when he was Archbishop of York. And at that time, I think it was Cosmo Lang who was Archbishop of Canterbury. Everybody knew that William Temple was far superior to Lang, and eventually Temple went to Canterbury. He was a great thinker, he was a philosopher, he was a theologian, he was just a man, very gifted man. He went to Canterbury and he died very soon afterwards, died a young man. But there's nothing you can do in the protocol. So I suppose there are other ways. Now you've got in England, you've got two rabbis, who's an outstanding person. The church in England, which was a very powerful institution, is still a powerful institution, but a few years ago, 50 years ago, it was all powerful. Has deteriorated, as it has in other places of the world too. Now, what has happened here is it's a fault in leadership. For example, does the leader lead the people, or do the people lead the leader? Now, this is a difference in procedure in England that is quite different from America. In America, when a senator is elected, please correct me if I'm wrong, when a senator is elected, or a congressman is elected, he must follow what the electorate wants from him. Is that correct? In England, that doesn't exist. They elect a representative, but that representative does what he considers right. And they appoint him because they've got confidence that he will do what is right. Then you see the difference. It's an altogether different procedure. So, the representative, the member of parliament in England, is not responsible to his electors for everything he does. He keeps them informed. But he's not answerable to them. That's the way it works. Now, something quite different. Now, as I said, the church was very strong. But what happened was that the church leadership felt that unless it would accommodate itself to the people, it's going to be lost. Now, just take what happened in America. There are churches that say what's going on is absolutely in all of us, homosexuality, lesbianism, it's a way of life, and we accept it. Have you heard the churches saying that?
Yes.
Have you heard synagogues saying that?
Yes.
It's accepted. Now, why do they say so? Because if they don't, they're afraid they'll be out. when Diana Feinstein was mayor of Chicago. This was a way of life, you have to accept it. She knew if she didn't, she'd be out. So what happens is that the leadership follows the people. Doesn't give a lead to the people, but it follows the people. Now this has happened all over the world. It's happened in the church. Unfortunately, it's happened in Jewish life too, where the rabbis have followed what the people want, and that is what it is. It happens in England too. Margaret Thatcher is a very strong personality. Church is so powerful that the Prime Minister and the Queen, although the Queen is the defender of the faith, is the titular head of the church. In spite of that, they are guided by an ecclesiastic or the ecclesiastic. But Margaret Thatcher made the statement that she had sloppy bishops. Couldn't do anything. They didn't understand. Do you believe in God? Well, and when a person says, well, you know, he's not sure of himself. Well, but now, do you believe in God? Is going to be the God? Well, I believe in, not in a personal God. I don't believe in a God is a man with a long beard out there. I believe that there is some force in the world. Nothing more than that. Has that force in the world any power to direct our lives? No. All very strange. The people that we thought that are on top of us were at the bottom there, at the bottom of the table. The people that gather at the bottom of the table were there at the top of the table. So there is discernment. We learn it here. This is all a preparation. We've got an opportunity. This is all a preparation. I can't All this is part of it. We call it experience. It's very much more than experience. In the same way as I told you, there is such a thing as shikula das, an attribute of judgment, that we've got the power of judgment, but without the implementation of that judgment, it's nothing. And so there is discernment, but there has to be the power of discernment through the exercise of discernment, the implementation of discernment. There has to be that also. Prepare. But there's so much else that prepares us for this. God is infinite. Now, I remember how I used to struggle as a child with the idea of infinity. That there must be an end. But I can always add one and then it's more. The sun, the moon, is eternal. Give some idea of people come and go, but there's some idea of eternity. We say it doesn't have to be eternal. Only Hashem is eternal. But there are things in the world that give us some idea of eternity. And now, a little bit further. Aha, chona azazi nahi se devis ashtay kutobi. O echot ishi wa ashemi kloli. Or ishi who in him kinya to order mishle muse ba maso ba kloi who is kede na minu in eshi bichlole la eile mabo. He says, Mechel, there are, it hinges all on two aspects. This preparation. And now we come to something very interesting which we are only just mentioning tonight, ready for the next year. He said, there are two preparations. There is the preparation of the individual, and then there is the preparation of the communal preparation, the preparation of the whole human species. So there are two things. there is a preparation for the individual and there is a preparation for the human species, which makes it appear that for the Olam Habo we've got to have these two aspects. We've got to have the individual and we've got to have the species as a whole. And that is where we need to put them out. We've got a few minutes if there are any questions you'd like to ask. Yes, Betty?
Well, what about the mentally ill?
These are things that we all, we discuss it all there. That's all discussed. It all fits into a scheme. All fits into a scheme. Speaks about the good and the bad. First you speak about the good and the bad. The righteous and the wicked. The first thing we speak about, and we'll come and deal with that. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
I'm talking
with great revelation. You reserve judgment. But really that, according to the Torah, Chavdeyu v'chashdeyu. Isn't that clever? Honor him and suspect him. Isn't that clever? That's the way we choose. Person you don't know. Honor him and suspect him. What would you realize? That? Which is as clear as that is in two words, Kadayu Vekashdeyu. Any questions? Esther, why have you been so quiet tonight? Are there any problems?
Isn't it always the same time?
Well, you know, I give a person time, but it's a public time that I want to call people up.